So good to see each and every one of you today. My heart has been blessed this morning in worship and been blessed this weekend. We've just, we had, I think Jeanette counted 17 at our house yesterday. And what a wonderful opportunity to have my father-in-law, Paul Cook, with us this morning. Love you, Paul. And it's just, he doesn't get up here all that often, and when he does, we're just ready to pull out all the stops. Love you, my second dad. Dad, I love you. Happy Father's Day. I am one blessed guy. Now, if I can just hold it together for the next 30 minutes. Tracy and I were talking this morning. She says, we went to this most beautiful wedding yesterday at the Wedding Canyon there in Polo and at the White Pines. She said it was just beautiful, this beautiful young couple from Chicago that they know from work. And she said it was just beautiful to see them and commit their lives together. And she said they just look so happy and all together. And we both kind of chuckled because we know what they're in for, amen? They start having family, and the next 30 years, they'll be the walking dead. Amen? It's all good, but it's hard work, isn't it? It is hard work to be a dad. And I'm not asking for pity, but I am asking the Lord Jesus Christ to help us this morning as dads, because sometimes the mantle that we carry is more than we can handle by ourselves. We definitely need the help of our wives and our families, and without God, we would be just a sinking rock. And so thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping us as dads. I really didn't understand it before I was a father, but now I totally get it. Men are constantly caught in a quandary of having this blessing of being the God-given, having the God-given gift of being a provider, and also having the God-given gift of a family that you desire to be so present with 24/7. And men are sometimes, if I can speak for us, and you can say amen or say, Pastor, I don't feel that way, and that's okay. But I know for me, when I was at work, away from my family, and many times, especially in my first pastorate, I was away for 3 or 4 days at a time, trying to make ends meet, and then come back to be with my family. And Jeanette's just hanging by a thread as she's raising the kids and trying to make do there at home. And I felt like when I was at work, I wanted to be more present with my family emotionally. I wanted to be there to be a better support for my wife and my kids. I wanted to tuck them in at night. I wanted to read them a story at night. But I needed to be away for a little while to work and provide for the financial needs of our family. And when I was at home, I became more aware of the needs that my family had. I became aware that they needed clothes. They needed food, they needed insurance, they needed, money for school supplies. And I realized that when I was at home, I became more aware of the needs, and I felt, oh my, Lord, I got to go to work. I gotta go make some money. I got to provide for my family. And it is that tug of war sometimes that fathers feel, always in a constant state of I wish I could do better. And it's that state that I would like to talk to us this morning for a little bit. When Israel was in crisis and needed leadership, Joshua spoke the now famous words that Paul read earlier. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua led a nation. That was his job. I don't know if he got paid for it. I'm sure he did. He had to receive some kind of income from some means. Joshua was the leader of the nation, but he was also a leader at home. And you see, there's really no way to separate that. Because when we're at home, we're still employed. And when we're employed, we're still a dad. We're still a husband. And what may seem an impossible task for us to accomplish becomes doable when we know who we are in Christ. Amen? It doesn't make it easy, and that's what this message is about this morning, is making the difficult choices. The responsibility of leadership requires wisdom, thinking ahead, and right action. The title of my message this morning is A Man's Plan, or A Father's Plan for His Family. A Father's Plan for His Family. You see, Joshua had a plan for his family. He wasn't going to let the outside influences of culture, which for them was very strong. They were entering Canaan land, which was the land of promise. It was the land flowing with milk and honey. Man, Mike, I enjoyed small group this morning. That was fantastic. Just, we're talking about, well, had to be there. It was awesome. Talking about Pentecost and different symbols from Pentecost and how it applied to last Sunday's message and Pentecost Sunday for the church. Joshua was leading his children, the children of Israel. He was leading his children, his biological children, into the promised land. They were there. They had arrived. They had crossed the line. They were inside. There were huge giants to face in Canaan land. Not only were the giants physical, they were spiritual. Because as Joshua faced this culture that was anti-God, anti-creator God, he realized that they were going to have to make a choice, not only as a nation, but he as a father was going to have to make some really tough choices in regards to how he was going to raise his family. And every father said, amen, I feel that. Because we are in a culture that is very similar. Now, our culture, in some respects, we may feel like it's anti-God, but our culture is kind of, in my reading of it, is kind of like it all goes. Whatever goes is fine. You just do what you think is best, and I'll do what I think is best, and we'll just somehow figure that out. And Joshua realized that there was more to life than just trying to figure it out as you go. Amen? You see, God has a plan for us. As a loving Heavenly Father, He has a plan. And He can see ahead. And He knows that the only way to navigate the waters that we are headed into is to have our eyes firmly fixed on Creator God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to talk to us this morning about having a plan for our family. These plans are difficult because they require choices. They require that we prioritize some things in our life, everything in our life, to fall under the lead head of Jesus Christ. It means that we will have to say no to some things, and we will have to need to say yes to some things, which will make our lives bless and a joy in living. As hard as these choices are, deep down inside, men know, because they heard their dad saying it, if it's not worth doing right, it's not worth doing. And men, I know I speak for all of us, raising a family is worth doing right. Amen? Amen. So borrowing some thoughts this morning from two godly pastors, Bruce Howell and Steve Shepherd, I'd like to read some scriptures this morning as we get started. Joshua chapter 24. Verses 14 through 18. Joshua 24, verses 14 through 18. And I'm going to turn to it. There we go. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations throughout which we traveled." He's talking about the 40 years of wandering in the desert. "And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." And then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. This is kind of a response then to the scripture that I read. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth." And in some translations it says the land, which is a reference to living in Canaan land. You will live a long life and enjoy life in Canaan land, the land of spiritual maturity. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And fathers, this is a great place to start in having a plan for our family. Amen. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and unappreciated heroes of all humanity. One time a little boy was asked, "Would you define Father's Day for me?" And he said, "It's just like Mother's Day, except we don't spend as much on the present." We could go to many places in the Bible for an example of a godly father, but one such is without a doubt Joshua. At the age of 110, God bless him. Amen. He summoned the leaders of Israel to Shechem for a farewell address. He realized his time was drawing close, and he started to pass the baton, and he gave them a blessing. He charged them to obey the Lord who had fought for them and given them an inheritance. He warned them of the danger of turning away, and he said, "Choose you this day who you will serve. Today is the day of choice. Choose." He chose the perfect setting. Shechem was full of history for the Jews. It was the place of Jacob's well. And Genesis chapter 12, verse 6 references that Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And God told Abraham at this great tree, "I'm going to give you this land." And it is at Shechem then that Joshua is now reminding them to choose this day whom you will serve, because they didn't have a perfect track record. You remember all the trouble they got into while they were wandering around in the desert? Well, they were making gold idols, and they were throwing stuff and cursing God and wishing for other things. And I'm not going to say that raising a family's hard. Well, maybe I am. Sometimes, being a godly leader, we just have to keep on keeping on. Amen. And sometimes those that we lead are dealing with frustrations that we may or may not be aware of, and we just have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Jacob's well was there in Shechem, and it was the site of one of the cities of refuge. If you were in a place where you had been thrown out of your city and were unwelcome there, you could go to a city of refuge and live and be welcomed. As Joshua spoke, he did so with the authority of experience, for he had walked with Moses for 40 years, and he had led Israel into the conquest of Canaan land for now 25 years. He reinforced his appeal with the power of integrity. You see, we can say the right words and even know the right things to do, but there comes a point where, dads, if we don't live it out, our words are going to have a certain hollowness to them. It doesn't mean we need to be perfect, but the more we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the more true that ring of the words that we say rings. There are a lot of things we could say about Joshua, but for the sake of time, I want to mention two. Number one, he was the priest of the home. He acknowledged his responsibility for the spiritual life of his family. He acknowledged his responsibility for the spiritual life of his family. And a priest cannot do his job. He cannot fulfill his responsibilities unless he's close to God. Amen? Fathers, there's just no way we can do this without being close to God. We can give our kids all kinds of things, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. We can give our kids all kinds of lesser things, but the most important thing that we give them is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the Bible, the family was designed to be the basic educational unit. You'll read things in like Deuteronomy where it says, talk about these statutes of the Lord day and night in your house. Put them on the door frames of your home. Talk about them when you lay down and when you get up. That doesn't happen in school. Well, sometimes it does in a Christian school setting, but that doesn't negate our responsibility in the home to be a place where we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and we talk about our faith. Amen. So fathers, let's think about having a plan for our family that includes talking about Jesus every day. It's a father's duty to make sure his children know how to be saved and how to walk in the ways of the Lord. The greatest thing a father can give to the life of his children is the love of God. And as fathers, we are so conscious of the need to pass down a great work ethic to our kids. Y'all hear me all the way back? We want them to know the love of the Lord Jesus, but that other side of us kicks in and says, they're going to have to be hard workers to make this work. And that's good, but that can come out of balance. You see, when we put that first in the lives of our kids and hope that they can make a success out of themselves by having a good work ethic and showing up every day on time and putting in that full 10 hours a day, that's good. But unless we put that underneath showing them the love of Jesus Christ, their lives will be out of balance. For what can happen? Here's what can happen. That can affect their faith in respect to, they begin to understand God as, I have to win my approval with God, and I will do that by my work. And the harder I work, the more I will be approved by God. Friends, we don't want to mess up that perspective. That right perspective begins with the love of God, and it follows through with a good work ethic. Very important, but let's not put that work ethic ahead of the love of God. Let's make sure that we're always recognizing the grace and the love of God, and the work will take care of itself. Amen. God says in His Word that very obvious, we need to take care of our family through our work. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat, and if he doesn't take care of his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. Yeah, he believes that we need to work hard, and we can do that with joy. But we do need to put the grace and love of God ahead of earning our acceptance by our work. The fact that we can live a life for God is powerful. And I think sometimes that's how we understand Christianity. But that's an incomplete understanding of Christianity. The fact that we can live a life for God is a wonderful reality. But let's remember that He lived a life for us. Amen? that He literally poured His life out for us in love. And the Bible says we loved Him because He first loved us. Let's keep it all in proper perspective, and He'll help us do that. We all know that love begets love. And of course, we remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever should," could you help me with that? "Believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." I remember the story of a little fellow frightened by lightning and thunder who called out to his dad that night in the dark. "Dad," he said, "I'm scared." "Son," the father said, "God loves you and He'll take care of you." "I know God loves me," the little boy replied, "but right now I want somebody with skin on." Joshua the warrior has become the man of peace near the end of his life. And don't you see that? People kind of mellow out as they get older. That's good. Someone has said that a boy loves his mother, but he will follow his father. Good truth there. Some months ago, I heard a story about a humble, consecrated pastor whose young son had become very ill. After the boy had undergone an exhaustive series of tests, the father was told the shocking news that his son had a terminal illness. And the youngster had accepted Christ as a Savior, so the minister knew that death would usher him into glory, but he wondered how he was going to walk his son through the acceptance of this news that he would soon die. After earnestly seeking the direction of the Holy Spirit, he went with a heavy heart to the hospital bed where his son lay to share with him the news. First, he read some scripture and spent some time with him, had prayer with his son, and then he gently told him what the doctors had said, that they really could only forecast that he only had a few more days to live. Broken, the pastor asked his son, "Are you afraid to meet Jesus?" Blinking the tears away, the little guy said bravely, "No, not if He's like you, Dad." As the priest of the home, the godly father is also a man of prayer. He goes to God often on behalf of his family, asking for wisdom and courage for himself and protection for his wife and children. Job is a great example. In Job 1:5, it says that Job got up early every morning and he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of his kids, thinking, "If my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts, I need to make a sacrifice on their behalf." And this was Job's regular custom, Job 1:5. The second quality that Joshua possessed is that he had a plan for his family. Being a priest of a family is not enough. A godly father must also have a plan of spiritual life for his loved ones. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." An incredible line in the sand of leadership. Amen. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We are so much stronger together than fragmented and separated when we're apart. And Joshua, as he spoke in behalf of his family, there was a sense of unity. When Joshua spoke, his voice rang with a sound of "we are together." Amen. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." There's two ways to take that. One is they're standing back here like this and saying, "What are you, a nut?" And there's the other way to take that as they're surrounding him together and saying, "Yes, we will serve the Lord." And sometimes that unity of "yes, we will serve the Lord" takes some time because we're all on a spiritual journey, amen? And the man's integrity has a lot to do with how those members of the family begin to enter and understand God and interrelate with each other and interrelate with the Holy Spirit. It may take a lifetime for that unity to occur, and that's okay. And hey, our kids have free will, don't they? But I love the idea, and I love what I believe is God's plan A for His families, because it takes a family unit to stand together. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the kids and mom said, amen and amen. We will serve. You know, this message is for dads, but it's also for moms and kids. As fathers, sometimes there's nobody more aware of our failures than we are. And to put out a message like this is sometimes feels like it can highlight the areas that we feel deficient in. And I certainly am not meaning to do that. Also want to put out the wonderful truth that God has in His Word. So as we walk that line of here's what God has and here's where we are, how encouraging it is when our kids and our wife affirm that our spiritual leadership, as faulty as it is sometimes, can come along beside us and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the wife said, and the kids said, amen. Amen. Be a great day to just remind Dad of your amen in his spiritual leadership. Amen. When the family is united, it will endure the trials that come its way. Joshua pressed forward with a godly determination to persevere with his family. He was prepared to stand alone with his family if necessary. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they stood with him. This wouldn't be the first time he stood apart. 65 years earlier, he stood at Kadesh Barnea, and he gave the minority report to Moses. And he said, with Caleb at his side, we've been there. We've been in the promised land, and it does flow with milk and honey. And all the naysayers said, it sure does, but there are huge giants in the land, and we can't take it. And Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. We need to move forward. And because of the minority report that was overwhelmingly negative, they spent the next 38 years wandering around in the desert. Joshua's spiritual leadership was leadership of integrity, but it doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy to lead. Amen. Sometimes we can say the right thing, do the right thing, live the right way, and step forward and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But if the family's not there yet, guys, it doesn't give us an opportunity to walk away from our post. We are still going to serve the Lord. We're still going to keep on walking. We're still going to persevere with godly perseverance and determination and keep on keeping on. Amen? Amen. Joshua was determined to at least establish a spiritual oasis with his family. In the midst of a culture that is sometimes hostile to God, in such an oasis that Joshua provided, spiritual giants are grown. Now Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you will enjoy long life on earth. That is a huge promise. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and admonition or instruction of the Lord. That King James and New International sometimes get twisted in my mind, but I learned it King James. Being a parent and father can be an interesting and trying experience. One father said to his teenage son, "Son, do you mind if I take the car tonight? I'm taking your mother out to eat, and I would really like to impress her." Happens. A letter from a college student to his parents. "Mom, Dad, please send food packages. All they serve here is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Another son wrote home to his dad. He said, "Dear Dad, please let me hear from you more often, even if it's only 5 or 10. Both parenting and fatherhood can be a real trial, yet a real blessing. Thanks, Dad, for material provision. Great opportunity. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Whoa! That's powerful. It says, if a dad does not provide materially for his family, food, clothing, and shelter, that he's denied faith in Christ. He's worse than unbelievers. Now, that has to do with intent, doesn't it? We know that. A man's in the unemployment line, but has a good heart and wants to work. We know, we understand that God has grace, and we pray for God's blessing for that job that's in the works. Amen. It's not about whether or not I'm collecting a check right now. It's the matter of the heart. God always blesses that. Thank God, and thank God for all the fathers who work hard and provide, and mothers who work hard too. But this is Father's Day. Amen. Fathers, do not exasperate your children into wrath. That's kind of what can happen if we're really working at it hard, but need a little tweaking here and there on how to do it. Our children can be like, "Whoa, no, I'm not doing that." And there can be this contest of wills as a dad is doing his spiritual job, his primary work. There can be this contest of wills. Be ready for it. It's okay. But God says, "Dad, the responsibility of leadership is still on your shoulders. Don't exasperate your children. If they come up against you, learn from that. Where are they spiritually? What do you need to know about them to understand them better?" A couple other versions say, "Parents, don't be hard on your children. Raise them up properly. Teach them and instruct them in the Lord." Another version says, "Don't keep on scolding and nagging them. Make them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord Himself approves." Well, as dads, we do instruct our kids in a lot of things. Everything from how to sit up straight at the table to how to go to the truck and I'll never forget, Dad. Dad trained me. I started working for Dad on the job site with other contractors when I was, 10? I don't even know how old I was. My first wage was, I hope I'm not embarrassing you, my first wage on the job was 25 cents an hour. Now, I wasn't worth that. But Dad took me on the job working with contractors in customers' houses when I was young. I don't remember how old was I, Mom? 10? 12? And we had chickens. Amen, Brandon? Had chickens. And we had ducks, and we had geese, and we had cows, and we had 2 sheep, and we had guineas, and we had all kinds of stuff that I had responsibility for. Enough about me. Dad used to say, "Think ahead. Always." When you're going to the truck for stuff to bring back into the house, think what you need to do your next job. Think ahead. A man by the name of Jim Burton said these words about being a father. "When I was young, baseball was my life. And you can imagine the excitement I felt when my youngest son began playing. This game would be one of our main bonding mechanisms. If my son would just listen, I could help him be a great baseball player. Learning to read curveballs and shift his body weight with the swing and steal bases and turn double plays, these things separate the amateurs from the pros." Burton said, as a result, a certain pattern emerged in our relationship. I saw every mistake he made, he said. In addition, I knew how to correct them. So, post-game drives home became a critique of how to improve his game. It soon got old for my son. One night he finally said, "Dad, could you stop telling me about all the things that I've done wrong and start by telling me some of the things that I did right?" Now, as fathers, we can be a coach with such intensity that we communicate the wrong message. Amen? Oh, we want the best for our kids. But sometimes we're here back right here with the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Don't keep scolding and nagging your children, making them resentful. Amen? Here's one sad confession of the father. "I took my children to school, but did not take them to church. I taught them to drink, but not the living water. I enrolled them in Little League, but not Sunday school. I showed them how to fish, but not how to be a fisher of men. I made the Lord's day a holiday rather than a holy day. I taught them the church was full of hypocrites, and made the greater hypocrite of them and me. I gave them the latest technology, but did not give them the Bible. I handed them the keys to the car, but did not give them the keys to the kingdom of God. I taught them how to make a living, but failed to bring them to Christ, who can make a life." Brothers and sisters, let's thank our Father and our Heavenly Father for helping our earthly fathers. And let's thank our earthly fathers for their faithful instruction, for all the good advice, and especially if that instruction included the Lord. Amen. I'd like to invite our worship team to come on up as I come in for a landing. Thanks, Dad, for your godly illustration. By this I mean illustration for life, a godly example. Paul said to his new Christians who were his children in the faith, "Follow my example as I follow Christ." Please notice that Paul didn't say, "Kids, do everything I have done." No, he said, "Do everything which I do, which is Christ-like." Or, in other words, follow the example of Christ. Paul wasn't perfect, and neither are we. One man said to his father, "When I was a teenager, my father and I were standing in line to buy tickets for the circus. There was only one family between us and the ticket counter. This family made a big impression on me. There were 8 children, all probably under the age of 12. And you could tell they didn't have a lot of money. Their clothes were not expensive, but they were clean. The children were all well behaved, all of them standing in line, 2 by 2, behind their parents, holding hands. They were excitedly jabbering about the circus, the elephants, the other acts, the clowns that they would all see that night. One could sense that they had probably never been to such an event before, and it promised to be a highlight of their young lives. The father and mother were at the head of the pack, standing proud as could be with their family in tow. The mother was holding her husband's hand, looking up at him as if to say, 'You are my knight in shining armor.' He was smiling and basking in pride, looking at her. The ticket lady asked the father how many tickets he wanted. He proudly said, 'Please let me buy 8 children's tickets and 2 adult tickets so I could take my family to the circus.' The ticket lady quoted the price. The man's wife let go of his hand. Her head dropped and the man's lip began to quiver. The man leaned a little closer and said, How much did you say? And the ticket lady gave him the price again. He didn't have enough. How was he supposed to turn around and tell his 8 kids he didn't have enough money to take them to the circus? Seeing what was going on, my dad put his hand in his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, and dropped it on the ground. And we were not wealthy in any sense of the word. My father reached down, picked up the bill, tapped the man on the shoulder, and said, "Excuse me, sir, I think you might have dropped this." The man knew full well what was going on. He wasn't begging or asking for a handout, but he certainly appreciated the help in this desperate, heartbreaking, and embarrassing situation. He looked straight into my dad's eye, took my dad's hand in both of his, squeezed tightly onto the $20 bill, and with quivering lips, he said, "Thank you, thank you. You really don't know what this means to me and my family." This gentleman that relayed this story says, "Brothers, the man telling the story about this father said, my father and I went back to our car and drive home. We didn't go to the circus that night, but we didn't go without." What that father had shown his kids was how to be a man. What a godly illustration of Christ. And thank God for all of our fathers who have been such godly illustrations and godly examples to follow. Aren't you glad it's not about being the perfect dad and getting it all squared away and done right? Amen. As hard, as important as that is, it's all good. But in the end, it's about having a right heart. And you know what? If we get that right, God does all the rest. Amen. Our kids, they understand. It may not be easy for them at the time, but they understand that our heart's right. And in the end, that's what matters. Amen. So dads, take a big sigh of relief. Thank God it's not about getting everything right. Although we want to do that, there is grace. And there is mercy. And when we've done all we can do, God steps in and does the rest. Praise His name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being God. Thank you that we are not. Thank you that you love us and you give us what we need to raise our families well. We thank you, Lord, for the godly example of Joshua. Realizing what was at stake with his family, he could literally lose the next generations of Israel if he didn't take this stand. Could lose him to the God of the Canaanites, who was a false god, but so alluring. Thank you, Lord, for Joshua's example that we are the beneficiaries of yet today. And may all of our dads, all of us, Lord, today, affirm and say amen to, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In Jesus' name, amen.
Sang this earlier. Feel free to sing along again. As morning dawns and evening fades, you songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name.
is a strong and mighty tower, your name is a shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Mr. Bill has some